Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
I'm here with Congressman Paul Tunco. Paul, old friend, I want to ask you about a whole bunch of things. I'm the old one. Last time we spoke, you said you were in junior high school when Kennedy was shot. I was in graduate school. That just shows you the difference between our ages.
I think math tells me that's not much of a difference. The delta isn't that great.
Well, I think that's probably right, that junior high school probably comes right before graduate school. And so I want to ask you a couple of things. Let's go fast on each of these. The SNAP benefits, personally, and I never speak for the radio station, but personally, I have to say, this is one of the worst things that this Congress has done.
It's an embarrassment.
Explain it to everybody.
The House bill that has passed a couple of times now includes $40 billion, not with my support.
$40 billion out of kids' lunches, out of
elderly meal sites, food programs for the elderly, for veterans, for the frail. They may be younger, but they may be frail. The statements made on the floor, if you want to eat, get a job. Truth be told, many people qualify even while they're working. Some are holding two jobs, three jobs to make ends meet.
And their kids are hungry.
Right. And kids, they're about a third of the participation. So I guess they're asking for child labor again in order to eat. You know, I've visited so many of the soup kitchens in this congressional district that I represent, and everyone is telling me the same story. The numbers are rising. And, you know, it's a healthcare program. It's about keeping people, you know, nutritionally sound. And for us to cut it $40 billion, and the Senate, while it doesn't cut it nearly by that much, cuts it. Mm. So now the parameters have been established. And so when we come to the conference table, as we're at now, I'm frightened that we're not going to be realistic with whatever outcome we have.
Minimum wage.
Minimum wage ought to be done. I think it strengthens regional economies, state economies across this country.
How much should it be federally?
I think that, you know, we should probably look at an index that takes it from its current level to present day and then maintain it with a consumer price index of some order so that you're not constantly politicizing the issue. I think, you know, when you look at a situation like this where people are asked to make ends meet on really low pay, it's unrealistic, and it's not good for the economy because most of the families that are impacted by the minimum wage are going to reinvest that money with the basic essentials that they need as a family.
Do you see this leading to an inflation in the country?
Now, you know, I think there's such gross injustice out there. Just the other day, I heard that the top 1% has seen its income grow over the last couple a year or two by 30-some%.
Well, Bernie Sanders told me that of all the new income, in other words, raises, 99% in this country has gone to 1%.
Right. That's about right. The stat I heard that 99% saw their income grow by 0.4%. The 1% saw their income grow by 31.4%. I mean, that's unsustainable. You know, and you know, as we go to the table, to the conference table, we have got to include revenues. There has to be a bold and balanced approach. And if you reject revenue, new revenue, by closing loopholes and creating a more just tax situation, then we're missing the boat here.
Is there any chance of any kind of immigration bill coming out this year?
Well, I was hopeful because of the bipartisan nature of the Senate compromise, which the president has somewhat authorized. Endorsed. The resistance from the House has been pretty much verbalized by the Speaker.
And what do you think the difference is between the real right-wing approach in the House and the middle of the road in the Republican conference in the Senate? Is it the fact that they have six-year terms?
It could be. That could be part of it. I think that the House right now has been paralyzed by the Tea Party thinking. And it's not just the immigration reform issue. It's a number of situations. They thought that the economic default that we were facing a few weeks ago was a manufactured crisis. They had no problems with the government shutdown, where we were tagged with a $24 billion impact to the nation's economy. So they continue this resistance, and I think it's going to be borne out on immigration reform. And the tragic thing is they constantly talk about, they harp on the issue of deficit reduction, and it's been measured that the immigration reform bill that was done in bipartisan fashion in the Senate would reduce the deficit by $875 billion.
Wow.
So, you know, they seem to profess one thing and then hypocritically reject one of the solutions out there.
Huh. So we have the sequester. It was done by both parties, each thinking they were going to fake the other guys out. I think, anyway. Everybody assumed that. So is there any chance? And now everybody's very angry about this. The Republicans, they have their issues. The Democrats have their issues. Any way to change it?
Well, to your point first about faking out, I think you're right. I think, you know, with sequestration impacting both defense and domestic spending, they thought, well, there's fans in both political cultures for either of those dynamics. And it's tragic that people are willing to just cut so deeply that it's part of their political mantra and it's the sense of political accomplishment, when I think it's a cowardice sort of situation. It's mindless, thoughtless, an across-the-board cut for every program, whether it's effective, whether it's essential, whether it's outmoded, is foolishness. You need to take a scalpel to the situation, not a cleaver. And is there a solution for this? Is it salvageable? It's going to take adding revenues to the discussion at the conference table. And to date, very little in revenue creation is agreed to with Republicans and Democrats. Republicans resisting new revenues. They would perhaps require Social Security and Medicare entitlement, as they call it, reduction, reform, to be their response to savings. You know, we've talked about it on your show several times. The revenue injustice, how we collect our revenues in this country, should behoove all of us to come to the table and have a huge think tank.
And shouldn't corporations be paying more?
Well, you know, you look at these corporate loopholes, and some of them are like really not paying their responsible share. And small business, we contend, is the backbone to the resurgence of our economy. And they have been maltreated, I believe, in this whole outcome, where you wouldn't believe small business to be a top priority when you look at some of the tax issues that surround them. So, you know, you look at some of the stuff that is very much hidden, buried in the bowels of tax statute, and as few as 1,800 families in the country might get some special order of a tax benefit that's equal to billions of dollars while we're cutting hunger programs. You know, the moral compass that ought to guide us just simply isn't working.
Paul Tonko, thank you so much for coming and speaking your mind and speaking in the way in which people want you to. They want you to be honest, and you are, and we appreciate that very much. So thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.